And I believe it's that time again. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, a year older Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, 147.330 megahertz, positive offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. That means if there's emergency conditions, we back out. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, and we wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Well, ID real quick on the timer. KF6Q here with Tech Tuesday Net. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alrighty, hearing none there. I have a couple of announcements. First announcement is we will be doing ham testing again coming up this weekend, Sunday, at the hospital here in Big Bear Lake. A special group there from the hospital is going to get all dialed in with ham radio operator licenses, we hope, anyway. But we are open for walk-ins, and just please contact me for information on that. Another announcement. I want to thank every one of you out there who stuck with us. We've been doing this now for 1 year and 5 months of every Tuesday, conditions permitting, of course. And thanks to the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club for the use of the repeater for that. You know, we have basic goals of what we've stated there, try to keep everybody out there involved with ham radio a little bit more than press to talk, answer questions with technical aspects, and then semi-technical aspects, and then sometimes it's not even technical at all. So appreciate everybody who participates and checks in every week. Thanks go out to everyone who is always there, Mike, WB6CLZ, great co-host there, and many others out there who join in. So definitely appreciate that. And we'll be looking forward to moving on and upward, onward and upward into the future. Another announcement there, speaking of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, if you use this repeater, you like this repeater, and you're listening to this repeater, and you're not a member of the club, please join up. Help promote the maintenance of our repeater. It is $20 a year, and I think if you join mid-year or thereafter, I think there's a special there. They may even let you have that for half price, but be a member and help support this great repeater with a huge, huge footprint. From Kingman, Arizona, San Diego, Oceanside. We don't know how far west in the ocean. Not too many boats out there, but definitely it's Catalina. All the way up to Mount Whitney. A lot of parts in and about in between. So if you like to use the repeater, we appreciate that. As a club member, myself and many others out there who are on this repeater all the time, please think about signing up. Go to bbarc.org, that's BBARC for Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, bbarc.org, and there is a membership application there. Definitely would appreciate all of you becoming members if you're not. One more announcement. We pull a lot of our information from the ARRL, Amateur Radio Relay League, which has been around since DIRT, Somebody else out there can correct that. I'm sure that the first members helped Noah with the ark. Essentially, the ARRL represents us in Congress. They have an excellent, excellent insurance program for your radio equipment, your electronics. If you become a member, I think it's like $39 a year for 1 year by itself. You get discounts with more years. They have lifetime memberships. They support contesting. They have an online library with tons of technical information, more available to members. They have and have published their Amateur Radio Relay League Radio Handbook. If you know nothing more than a battery has two ends, they will take you with that handbook into pre or if not standard electronic engineering, you know, abilities with the math. Or if you don't want to do that, they have all the build it projects for just basically people who are constructors. You reset. With that in mind, they issue that just about every year. They change each year with a little few more updates with all kinds of neat stuff and the CD in the back with all the stuff electronic. Like I say, if you're a builder, they have everything in there you would ever want to think about and all the information to back it up. Second thing which we draw a lot on here on Tech Tuesday is the Amateur Radio Relay Antenna Handbook, which is just what it says. All about antennas, transmission lines, all of everything from HF to microwave to satellite to Earth-Moon-Earth communications. Let me reset. Both these publications are available almost everywhere, and I believe they're still under $50. How much, I don't know, but I guarantee that if you ever needed to have a reference, one issue will take you for many, many, many years. So back up the ARL. They have probably thousands of actual other books available. If you want to become a member, you'd be supporting ham radio at its most to represent us in times of need with this latest thing here of trying to get part of our 440 band. Don't know where that's going, but I'm sure that they'll work that out. Let me reset. In addition to all that great stuff ARRL does for you, you will receive a QST, good monthly publication, comes with that membership. And trust me, it's, we'll say beginner level to intermediate tech. If you want to go one step further, you can, with additional money, subscribe to QEX magazine, which is very off the edge, but very good for all you electronic techies out there, so. Anyway, that is probably one of the best few things out there I can announce tonight. Please support these people. They do a lot for us out there as hams. All right, well, the topic for this evening, we're going to pull a 2002 article run of QST magazine from the ARRL. It's available online. It's 2002, June, July, and August. About lightning and lightning protection. And there is so much to discuss. We will probably be going into the next couple of weeks on this. The ARRL actually spread it out over 3 months. And just because it's 2002, trust me, lightning's been around since day one. Radio, one day after, we need to protect ourselves.
AWL.
Go ahead, Art. You might have traffic.
Am I clear there, Tom?
I'm sorry, Art. Come back, please.
Okay. Well, your intro was excellent. Super. And I'll let you get on to the other subjects. But, yes, I'll push again for those to join up with the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club so we can support the repeater. $20 is a small amount so we can keep it going. The next step in our support here is through the ECS, if you address to them the emergency communications service part of the San Bernardino County Fire Department, which is myself and Tom and the rest of them. Get out there and get a part of it. I know what you're going to go through tonight and in your Tech Tuesday. That's super. But I just wanted to get that information out there and push a little bit further to get them all a part of it. Tom, thank you so much. We're back here in Fun City. Be up in the mountains tomorrow. That's the plan. And we'll take on from there. Have a good time, and we'll talk to you, and we'll listen to you. W6AWL.
And this is KF6Q, Tom Fry, on the Tech Tuesday Net at every Tuesday, 1900 hours. Art, great to have you out there and announcing that with ECS, and that is, let me expand on that a little bit, too. As all the hams out there, two of the probably greatest, but not the only ones out there for ham radio operators to join up with. ECS is actually Emergency Communication Services with San Bernardino County Fire. CERT, which is also not ham-oriented, but a lot of CERT members are becoming hams. CERT is not only in Big Bear, they are all over the United States. I know people in the Palos Verdes CERT, which stands for Community Emergency Response Team. And we're encouraging all those out there with that to become hams and join in with the ham community group. So ECS with the San Bernardino County Fire, the Emergency Communication Services, works with the Emergency Operations Center in times of disaster. So kind of neat things we can do. Art, thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate that. Only got a chance to announce part of that last week as we were wrapping up the net last week, but very good point there, and I guess it's time to move on with the net. It's already 12 after, but thanks. Anybody else out there with any other announcements, please come back.
LCS?
Yes, Quint, go ahead.
I have two quickies, satellite status and the ISS status. Do you want me to do that now?
Quint, we'll get you in the normal sequence, if that's okay.
Very cool. K6LCS.
Okay. Thanks, Quint. Appreciate that as joining up with us and supplying all this great information. Especially right now, we have the last shuttle is up in space, so I'm sure you have a lot of good stuff about that. All right. I got the topic covered on that. We're going to do this roster. Roster is made up of people that normally check in. Anybody can be added to this. If you'd like to add your name to this and don't get a chance to do so tonight, please email me at kf6q@arrl.net. We'll put you on the roster. Love to have you out there listening, and we can call you off there. Not a problem. All right. Well, let's get started here. WB6CLZ co-host Mike in Placentia.
Tom, we are still here, and happy birthday to you again, and a great spokesman for all of those agencies. Very good. I concur with all of that. Yeah, get out there and join, and that's what you guys need to do. WB6CLZ is here in Placentia, and standing by.
Okay, thanks. And Mike, I want to, at this point in time, give you a personal thanks from me to help me get this thing going and moving in this direction, and appreciate that from the first week of March of 2010 and sticking with me all this time, so appreciate that. So. Anyway, all right, somebody's there by your side. I think it's WB6CIN. Cindy.
Here I am, Tom. I'm here and listening. Happy birthday. This is WB6CIN.
Thank you very much for all the happy birthdays. Appreciate that. KA6CIA George, I believe he's in Fonskin.
Yes, you've got that right. Happy birthday, K6CIA.
Thank you, George. Appreciate that. Let's see if we can reach KE6RJ. Harry, Nothing heard. Don't know if he's up on the hill. Probably won't get anybody from KE6QI. Nancy? Yeah, nothing heard. How about AF6CJI in Rosamond, California? Yeah, nothing heard there. KJ6HZF, Mike, and Fonskin.
Hey, Tom, happy birthday. This is KJ6HCS. Didn't mean to interrupt you today, George. I appreciate the unobtrusive visit. I appreciate that. KJ6HCS.
Okay, Mike, don't know if your dad's listening in, but if he is, we'll check in K6EKX. Listening on a repeater. How about KJ6FIL, Mike, in Redlands?
Happy birthday, Tom. Good evening to all the others. And definitely, yeah, if you get a chance, join the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. It's, you know, you don't have to pay the $20. You can pay more if you want. But it's definitely well worth it in the time of need. Back to you, KJ6FIL.
You know, Mike, and one more thing there. So I should have done this. I'm going to break a little bit here on the roster. Should have mentioned this. Besides supporting the repeater, we have a picnic once a year. Other than maybe some salads and desserts, the club sponsors the food for the picnic. We also have field day operations. And I'm saying that other than maybe something of the same that you would bring, the club sponsors the main course meal on both these operations. We also have a Christmas party, and we have all different kinds of sorts of goodies there going on. So yeah, that's the best $20 you'll ever spend, I'll guarantee you. So anyway, just thought I'd bring that to the attention of a few more things I forgot. So anyway, all right, let's move ahead. People that normally check in, I got KJ6KDL Jim in Sugarloaf.
KJ6KDL here with KJ6KDK right beside me.
Okay, Jim, got you and Rosemary both checked in here. Appreciate that. And let's see here. We'll try W6GZI, Frank. And nothing heard. KI6IQA, Kelly.
Good evening, and happy birthday. Wow, your own wife outed you earlier today. Guess, guess you're going to have to get even with her when it's her birthday. KI6IQA.
Roger that. Well, hers was Saturday, so anyway, that's weird. That's a whole other topic in itself. All right. Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate that. Everybody else out there, K6GVL, Ron in Green Valley.
Happy birthday, and K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley Lake.
Thank you, Ron. And you know what? When I go down now the front way with 330 open, I have never made that turn off to Green Valley. I need to do that. I know you're not that far back in there. One of these things I got to do. So glad to have you with us almost every week, unless there's something else you got going on there. I appreciate that. AD6PL, Harold in Riverside.
Evening, AD6PL. Happy birthday up there.
Thanks, Harold. Appreciate that. It's going to be the most happy birthday I've ever had in my life. How about K6LCS, Clint in the brand new city of Harupa Valley?
Here this evening, actually in Riverside tonight, mobile, K6LCS.
Okay, Clint, appreciate that. And anybody wants any updates from what we did last week, please see Clint at his website and follow it from there. Appreciate that. Here's the guy, and I know we're not doing this in alphabetical order, and I have been criticized on that. I have to get my butt in gear and do that. W6AWL Art, and I believe he's in Sun City.
Yeah, hey, Thomas, we're down here in Fun City. We just got back from a trip in Ventura. Missed your birthday. Happy birthday, dude. And everybody else needs to know, you're talking to my lieutenant in ECS. That's a big part of it. And, yes, please join the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. I collect the checks. I put them in there. And what I tell you is, out of the $20 you put in for the year, we spend 10 back on you. The other 10 keeps the repeater going. Look at the footprint. Look at what we do. That is just fantastic. Thomas, thank you so much. We'll get together with you before the month's out. And everybody else, thank the lieutenant. W6AWO.
KR, thanks. And don't forget, we're... you have that school for the hospital crew, too. I know you got that all in line. And one more thing I just remember about this great repeater. One more thing, Echolink. If you're not familiar, do a Google on Echolink. Our repeater supports Echolink. Lately, we've had a little up and down issues there. Randy's working on that. You can check into the repeater, talk to anybody in the repeater, you know, through Echolink here. No matter where you are, you can get in touch with people here in the valley or actually in the footprint of the repeater. So that's another plus. So anyway, all right, let's move ahead. W6JLM, Judith in Sugarloaf.
Good evening again, Tom, and everybody listening on the net. And again, happy birthday, and we will be listening tonight. Thank you very much, W6JLM.
Okay, Judith, real quick, next to you, W6KMM, Ken.
Good evening, Lieutenant Fly, and I would be remiss if I didn't wish you a happy birthday, so happy birthday, Lieutenant.
No, I'm saluting you. I don't know if you saw the hand. That's not the California salute, by the way. All right, great to have you up there. Up here. And you guys, please listen out. We've got a great little mini-series here over the next 3 weeks on lightning and everything we can do about it. And we're drawing off of information of everybody out there, plus three great issues from QST Magazine from the ARRL. So, all right, well, see if we got KI6OHN John out there. And nothing heard. How about W6CYS? I think I have his call right. That's another John out there. I don't know if you tried to check in there or didn't catch it, John, but anyway, if you're out there, appreciate that. Alrighty, good supporter of CERT. Good organizer, KI6OHI Yomar, are you out there? And nothing heard. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Howdy, Tom and Annette. And Tom, I get maybe you're old enough now to take a swig of alcohol. Hope so. Have a good night. K6YNW.
Roger that. Oh, yeah, let's see. Can't remember when that used to be the big item in my life. I think after that, it's all downhill. Anyway, all right. How about W6KVC, Gary? Nothing heard. How about KD6LAN, Bill from Boulder Bay? Probably out there catching all the fish out of the lake, by golly, and saving some fish there, Bill. K6HAL, Ruth. And nothing heard. Maybe we got Ray down there. I don't know. W6PBZ, Ray. Excuse me, that was WB6PBC. All right. I'll hear him out there. Moving on to KJ6BCK, Adam in Garden Grove. And nothing heard. How about AE6CK, Victor? Possibly Santa Fe Springs. Nothing heard. KE6VHM, Frank, Irwin Lake. And nothing heard. KA6ROD, Ron.
Happy birthday, Tom. You caught up to me. KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod, appreciate that. And, yes, I will be getting your scanned. Oh, another story. Scanned flies back to you ASAP. Sorry, buddy. KJ6DBS, Leon. Nothing heard. How about KB6LTY, Christy? And nothing heard. AE6TV, Hans. And nothing heard. Let's see, we got Guy out there, K6TUX, Guy. Nothing heard. NQ7RD, Rick, are you out there in Corona? All right, nothing heard. That's the list as I have it. Anybody else like to be checked in tonight, please come back. I will put you on the list and keep you out there. Keep you informed. Please come back to KF6Q. All guests, please check in.
SKN.
Ah, Chris, you're back. Glad to have you out there. Anybody else out there, please come back. As guests, check in.
W6OTL.
W6OTL, I believe I spoke with you earlier today, is that correct?
Most likely. I spoke with a couple of people from up there this afternoon. Got a couple of questions. You're saying the dues are $20 a year for the repeater. Do you have a website where I can get an application, et cetera, et cetera, and where to send the money if I want to send it in?
Roger that. I think I spoke with you earlier about Tech Tuesday. Yes, that would be at the BBARC, as in Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, BBARC.org. Go there. There is membership applications. Best $20 you'll ever spend in your life. We'd always appreciate the help. Support the repeater. Fantastic. So, and like I said, if you participate, if you can get up here on the hill with some of our little things we do throughout the year, I'll guarantee you, like Art says, you get half of that money back. So appreciate that. We operated just barely above bare minimum cost, so appreciate that.
Well, I can't get up on the hill very often. Driving a motorhome that only gets 5 miles to the gallon and living in Garden Grove, that's a bit of a mileage.
And this is KF6Q, Tom Fry, Tech Tuesday, and the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Every Tuesday, 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Well, I appreciate that. Yes, I do understand the gas situation. So if you can't do that, though, appreciate it. If you want to be a member, we also have a members net every Saturday. Another little more information there. We have one on 3935 if you're general class or better on the 75-meter net, 8 o'clock. We also have another one at 9 o'clock on this repeater right here. So check on either one or both. Not a problem. So appreciate that. Anybody else out there to guest, want to check in, please come back.
This is N6BOP. I'd like to check in as a guest and maybe join the club again. Used to belong to it many years ago. This is Anne, N6BOP in Pomona.
N6BOP and Red Eye Net. Anybody who does not know Ann out there on the Keller repeater, an icon, to say the least. And appreciate you out there tonight. Appreciate that. If you want to be a member of the club, appreciate that too. And please check in here. We always try to listen up on your Red Eye Net. If we can stay awake. Okay. So thank you, Ann, for checking in. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there like to check in as a guest? And we'll add these last two to our normal roster. Please come back. Okay, nothing heard. Anybody else wants to check in, please break in any time. We always leave space. There is no question that's a bad question. Mike, our standard procedure is at this point in time, after roll call, we do the DX report for HF radio. All you members who are out there or techs, please upgrade the channel. You'll understand what we're talking about here. It's great stuff. Mike, what do we got cooking? I hope something better than last week for DX. And it over to WB6CLZ.
So known as the broken record. Actually, today sunspots are up a little bit. We've got a Space Weather is reporting a sunspot number of 72, which is up from the 30s and 40s and 50s that we've been having in the last week or so. Solar flux index has actually come up to about 90, which has been in the middle 80s. So, we're hopefully going in the right direction. Over the weekend and the last week, marginal conditions. Worked chilly, Cayman Islands, ZF1 Alpha in the Cayman Islands on 20 sideband. On 20 CW, I worked Portugal. And just this afternoon, I was tuning around on 20 and worked XE1 FSK in Guadalajara, Mexico. A little bit of trans-equatorial probably. The signals are really good, though. Anyway, hopefully somebody else has had better luck than I have. Chris, come on in there and tell us that you've been working a lot of good DX, but the conditions haven't been that great. So that's about where we're at. This is WB6CLZ back to net control.
Okay, Mike, appreciate that. I know you're very busy and you had a chance to get out there and do that. And we have our rare guest, very busy guy, KI6SKN, also a good DXer out there. Chris, anything to add to that? I know you're a very busy guy up here on the hill this time of year. Don't know if you had much chance to get on the radio. Hopefully you have. Chris, anything to add? Please come back to the net.
Okay, Tom and everyone. No, I've mostly had my antenna disconnected most of the time due to the electricity in the air, and incorrectly, as I guess I'm finding out now, I have not had it grounded correctly, but I haven't got anything. I've been real busy, and I haven't even gotten on the air in quite a while, so KI6SKN is a zero for the DX report at this time. Back to you, Tom.
Well, Chris, I understand that, because as we live up here in Big Bear, myself being now almost over a year now, permanent resident, and I got to tell you one thing, when the lightning flashes up here, yes, and we're going to go over a couple different things that are kind of considered good safety procedures. We just want to make sure nobody gets hurt, so that's what I think at this time of year is probably one of the most critical things we do here on Tech Tuesday. So anybody else out there, general class or not even, maybe even technician on the 10-meter band, out there doing any DX stuff, please come back. Anything you report, please come back to KF6Q. All right, well, hearing none, appreciate that. Appreciate everybody else out there with information. Now we have our newest addition to Tech Tuesday, which is the HAM and ISS Satellite Report. Used to be our guest speaker, is now one of our main members out there, K6LCS Clint. When he's not busy out there giving his many, many tours and seminars, Clint, what do you have out there? You got some good stuff for us? Hand it over to you from KF6Q to K6LCS.
Tech Tuesday, Tom, thank you much. As the Big Bear Club knows, this is one of my trivia questions when I go up there and do my presentation. They've been an ARRL affiliate since May of 1978. one of the longest A2RL affiliates in the region. News tonight, boy, all five, well, my favorite four FM satellites are up and running, 51, 50, 67, 27. You wouldn't know that 51 is deteriorating. 51 has been performing magnificently on the 145.88, 145.88 uplink, and 435.150, 435.150 downlink. More excitingly, though, we have some spare time in the STS-135 astronauts' schedules for possible ham radio work. Break for a second. Day 7 and day 9, there's 30 minutes each time that the astronauts have nothing scheduled. Now, of course, something breaks or something else comes up. They have nothing scheduled on day 7 and day 9. That's Thursday and Saturday. So if I were going to do some FM voice with the astronauts, here are some frequencies that you should be have programmed. There are two FM pairs for VHF, and then a singular, of course, 440 frequency for possible 440 work. There's regions one, which is usually Europe, but program 145-800 downlink, 145-800 down, and your uplink 145-200. 145-200. Now, technically, we are in region 2, the 2-3 frequency pair, but keep both programmed in case they're on the wrong channel. It is also 145-800 down, 145-800 down, but 144.49 up, 144.49 up. No tones in any of that. For your sideband folks, AO7 is cranking, FO29, VO52. All the birds have been performing really magnificently for us this week. I spoke to someone who is very, very important in NASA yesterday. She is the NASA food scientist and manager of the shuttle food system. And she is inviting us all to eat a meal with the STS-135 crew this Thursday. She has prepared an all-American meal for the final space shuttle crew as that iconic American spacecraft makes its last voyage. And you are invited to prepare the same meal on Earth and share it virtually with the astronauts aboard Atlantis. You're invited to share this all-American meal with the crew on July 14. The crew's dinner time is scheduled to be in the early to mid-afternoon our time. And I had a good sound clip from Michelle to play right now, but she's just saying because this is July, the summer, backyards, barbecue, that she thought this would be a great project. The crew's American menu begins with crackers, brie, and sausage. Then the entree is grilled chicken, southwestern corn, and baked beans. And, of course, the meal concludes with the quintessential American dessert, apple pie. All the recipes, and so if you want to eat exactly what the STS-135 crew is having, the shuttle crew will have the chicken, while the station crew, the rest of the crew members up there, will have barbecue brisket. But if you want all the recipes, just go to this URL. tinyurl.com, tiny, T-I-N-Y, URL.com/... STS-135-meal. So it's tinyurl.com/, all capital letters, S-T is Tom, S-135-meal, M-E-A-L. You get the same, and just eat with the astronauts and watch NASA TV as they eat. Well, the other note I have is watch the Ham Nation podcast with Bob Heil, Gordon West, and myself on August 2. Right now, they just finished up recording tonight's session, but on August 2, we're going to do a satellite session, and we should have a bunch of fun. Tech Tuesday, Tom, thank you very much. It's an exciting week. We might talk to the astronauts aboard Atlantis on Thursday and Saturday. K6LCS.
Okay,
Okay, Clint, glad to have all that information, and you always have something out there that just keeps us really on the edge of our seats with satellite and the ISS. And, of course, with the last shuttle mission up there right now, a lot of excitement going on with that. Hopefully they'll step up. They've got a timeline for the next phase of what we're going to be using, but seems pretty far out there, so you never know. Maybe we can step that thing up a little bit and get something else going. So appreciate that. Let me reset. Well, one thing, just to start off, our little thing about lightning protection and a conversation with W6OTL earlier today. This gentleman who's a guest this evening and hopefully a permanent member on here basically has had a lot of commercial experience of everyday protection. W6OTL, are you still out there?
W6OTL.
Good evening. Would you like to share just a little bit in brief summary there of kind of repeat some of the stuff you were talking to me earlier about to some of our people who are now listening in on Tech Tuesday? What's the surefire method for lightning protection, or is there anything such as when it comes to the commercial market?
Okay, to start off with a little bit of background for myself, I've worked in communication electronics for over 50 years, and over 25 of it was repairing commercial two-way, Motorola, GE, Johnson's, Aerotron's, RCA's, the whole gamut of it. And a lot of it was back in the Midwest, Iowa and Minnesota in particular, where they do have such things as lightning. And at one time, I was working associated with the state of Iowa Department of Transportation, which is their equivalent of Caltrans. And they did some studies along with Motorola and General Electric and Polyphaser, and Polyphaser makes lightning arresters. And their basic decision, when it got all down to it, you can do all kinds of things to protect your system, but there's no guarantee that it's going to stop it. If you take a lightning hit on your antenna, your radio is gone, and so is your antenna and coax. And if you disconnect your coax from the radio, make sure you ground it. Ground the center conductor and the shield to a lightning rod grounded very securely into the ground. Do not just disconnect it and leave it hanging, or don't put it into a glass jar or a plastic jug or anything. If you're going to disconnect it, ground it.
Yeah, Russia, I think we were talking about that, and that's what a lot of people do out there, and I got to tell you that, you know, we all, or not maybe all of us, but a great percentage of people out there think, well, we've got this thing disconnected from the radio, and I'm just going to lay it over here on the countertop and my Radio Shack here, and that's good. But people, listen to me and listen to the gentleman who was just on there talking to you. You've got a lightning bolt, whether you feel that it travels from the ground up or the sky down, it doesn't matter. It's going across thousands of feet of air, and it's going to hit all these conductors, and you've got maybe a foot or two. It's away from you, hopefully not from you, but away from your radio by a few inches or a foot or two. Think about that. That's not going to work. In my opinion, and this is in my humble opinion, I feel the best thing is, and I know this is a little more effort, if you can take the coax coming from your tower, your antenna, whatever, outside of the building, have something, a ground rod, like the gentleman was just talking about there, good ground rod and make sure the wire is connected. Trust me, if it's even partially connected, it'll be better. Don't let that thing come in the house. W6OTL, anything you could add to that, please. I think that's the main thing, the biggest mistake everybody's making out there. Please, back to you. Come back to KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, to W6OTL.
A lot of people want to put faith in one thing that is out there that does help, and that is the Alpha Delta brand of coax switches. If you're switching coaxes, some of those have a center ground position, but even that, like Tom says, if you can keep that lightning outside of the house, if you have to put a barrel connector in your coax outside the house so that if you're going to disconnect it, put an SO239 on that ground rod, connect your coax to that. Don't even let it come in the house. Because sometimes in coming into the house, there'll be enough static electricity built up on that coax itself that it'll burn a hole through the wall. It'll start a fire. And which is easier to replace, your radio or your house? So that's one of the main things you got to worry about. Keep that lightning outside, but even then, there is no guarantee that your equipment is not going to be damaged. If you have things disconnected, it can still get hit. And I had one case back in Iowa where a repeater I worked on had taken a lightning hit, and I just put up a new antenna and was putting up the three-quarter heliax, and the hair on the back of my neck started standing up, and I was 125 foot up on a tower. And I looked at those clouds and said, I don't like this. And I got off the tower, back in the building, and 2 minutes later, boom, that antenna had taken another lightning hit. And it was a 23-foot long fiberglass antenna on 450 megahertz. And it just spread it out like a banana peel. So, and nothing was connected. Don't trust lightning. Ground it and still expect to get damaged equipment. W6OTL.
And Tom Fry here, KF6Q on Tech Tuesday Net. 1900 hours every Tuesday, conditions permitting, and by the way, one of those conditions permitting are electrical storms or flash floods or other emergencies that could propagate up here in the mountains. So W6OTL, you want to give us your name there real quick so we can call you by your first name.
Sorry, Tom. The name down here is Jim, and I'm in Garden Grove, and also even though I'm retired, I still do a lot of antenna work, climbing and everything else. And I was taught to climb by the telephone company, so I know how to do it right, and I have the proper safety equipment to do it right.
Okay, roger that, Jim. Appreciate that. Appreciate all that information. And this is, I think, kind of an eye-opener up here. I know a lot of people up here, we get possible lightning strike situations up here. We get a lot of strikes up here in the mountain during this time of year, thunderstorms, and we have been thought to believe that we're safe by disconnecting and just laying that coax out there. Well, everybody out there listening, please rethink that. If you have to go outside your house to a convenient location, cut that coax, put some new connectors in, get it away from, the further away from your house, the better. Like you said, put a barrel connector in there, and when this stuff comes up, the further away from your house, the better. Another little thing out there, and I know we haven't even touched on the article yet. like I said, this is a very, 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 very big topic. We're spreading this out over about 3 weeks, possibly more, because this will be ongoing through the summer up here in Big Bear, If you're out in the desert listening in, you know very well, you get lightning strikes out there. Garden Grove, they are everywhere. So anyway, like to send it over to WB6CLZ real quick. Have you had any strikes over there in your area in Orange County? You've been there your whole life, just about. Mike, any input on that?
And thanks, Jim. I see you up there on your tower with your Klein bag, so a nice QRZ page. Yeah, thanks, Jim. A lot of information there. Really appreciate that. Tom, no, I really have never had, we've had lightning in the area, but never had a strike here. We have had one on the solar panels up at Big Bear, but it was not a direct, it just kind of burnt the ground, you know, a little bit, and nothing major. So, yeah, not down here in the OC, WB6COZ.
Hey, Mike, appreciate that. And currently now I'm in Big Bear, and I know that we have a listener out there time to time. Not sure if he's on the hill or not. He might be down in Iguanda. Harry, KE6RJ, literally had a strike here a few years ago directly across the street from him. It took a pine tree. This was a live pine tree and lit it up like a Christmas candle. That is how much power we're talking here. Taking a full-height pine tree and it burst into flames, and anybody who's up here on the hill knows that in Sugarloaf area we do have a local fire department and we have all the great fire departments up here to assist, and they got that out immediately. One strike, one possibly 80-foot tree, if not at least more, instant into flames from the power coming from this lightning strike. Mike, not hearing Harry out there. Mike, we've talked about EMP, electromagnetic pulse. You're a registered electrician. When you have that much current flowing close by, whether it be 100 yards away, I'm sure the further away the better, what does that do to what could that possibly do to anything even nearby? Mike, you want to comment on that, please? WB6CLZ.
Boy, well, yeah, with an EMP of that size, that magnitude that you get out of lightning, just about anything metal will induce current. And some things that aren't metal, all they have to do is be wet. So, yeah, very, very large induced currents are produced. And like I say, and like Jim said, your radio doesn't even really need to be hooked up. If everything's not grounded, if it's really not in a Faraday shield, it's subject to anything that the nature wants to throw at it.
Okay, Rosh, that we got somebody in there possibly comment. You're kind of spotty in the repeater. Go ahead.
386 PYY. If you get the strike anywhere near your house, it's going to take everything electronic in your house that's plugged into the wall socket.
Very good point. And that was the next step we were going to move into, is that you're disconnecting your antenna from your radio. Unplug the radio. I know we've all gotten used to computers. We have these, spike arresters, if something comes across the power line, unplug everything. If you think you're in imminent danger of a lightning strike, get everything unplugged, at least that way, because I'll guarantee it's been recorded many, 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 many times. Even copper pipes in a house, even telephone lines in a house have conducted enough energy from a lightning strike that hit by the house to literally in this one circumstance that I am thinking of, did not hurt the individual. The individual got shocked very badly. Did not even get hit with the lightning. This stuff travels. It travels like wildfire. So do the best for your radio equipment. Hopefully this never happens to any of us out there listening, but if it does, unplug everything. Just if it's that imminent of a danger, unplug it, make sure you have no coaxes coming in the house. Don't know what else to add. Mike, one more time back to you. Anything else as an electrician that you could add to that?
Basically what the gentleman just said. I mean, anything. You know, if it's close enough, no matter what it is, it's going to get you. My procedure, especially there in Big Bear, as soon as I see those little cumulonimbus clouds getting dark in the bottoms, everything comes down, everything is grounded and disconnected. And knock on wood, we've been very lucky with that.
Watch that, and we're going to break just for a quick moment. My gosh, it's almost 8 o'clock. Anybody out there, any comments or suggestions? We got a couple more things we want to cover before we wrap this up tonight, and we're definitely going to go into at least 3 more weeks. Any comments or suggestions, please come back to KF6Q.
YNW.
YNW, Chris, hey. Go ahead, please.
Yep. After our house burned down, I spent a lot of time down here because I have antennas, and the main thing is my dogs. But a few times the lightning's kind of close, I disconnect the coax and even lower the antennas to the ground. The antennas are just on poles. They're not way high up. No Edison here, so nothing to unplug, but never know. K6 Wind of you.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there, any questions or suggestions, please come back.
Hi, QA.
I'm your junior.
Okay, we got two people there before the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, and for ID, this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, every Tuesday, 1900 hours, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, conditions permitting. IQA first, and then we'll take the other gentleman after that. Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, being that there's a pine tree about 15 to 30 feet away from the top of my antenna that is 50 feet taller, I'm going to go with the idea that if lightning is going to strike right here, yeah, it's probably going to take out my system because it's within that that parameter. But isn't it going to hit that big lightning rod, 150 to 500 year old tree that's probably 110 feet tall before it hits my antenna? Is there any foundation to that thought, or is that just out the window?
OTL.
Okay, real quick before we send it over to OTL, Kelly, like I said, the live trees are the deadliest up here for lightning strikes because of the moisture content. They are grounded, albeit not the best ground in the world, as George will testify, KA6CIA. But chances are it'll hit that tree or your antenna. It's a toss of a coin, and, the one is saturated with the moisture directly to ground. We're already telling you to disconnect your antenna and tie it to ground, so it's a 50-50 shot there. Don't know, and we never know exactly why it strikes where it strikes. Obviously, it's kind of like an unknown at this point in time. But I would say that it could do either or. Anyway, let me hand it over to OTL. Sounded like he had a comment, and I don't know if he was the we had one other person after that directing that, so please send it back to me, and then we'll go from there. Go ahead, OTL.
With reference to the pine tree, even though it is taller and in close proximity to the tower, the lightning is going to take the path of least resistance. And that metal tower and metal antenna and coax directly attached to ground is a much lower resistance than that tree. So, even though it probably probably going to take both, but I would be willing to bet that it'd take the tower first. W6OTO.
And I think if any of us have seen any a lot of photographs that have been taken of lightning, how it forks. Hey, look, we don't have one lightning bolt. Now we have two, maybe three. And that one's split into two or three. So, Kelly, best to do is assume that it's going to hit your tower first. We had another gentleman out there right after Kelly, I believe, unless that was you, OTL. Please come back.
E6RJ, I've been called a gentleman. I don't know how, since when. Well, very good evening. I just got home not long ago and enjoying the here technical lightning information talk. And it was me who saw the tree in front of our house here, in front of our next door neighbor's house, lighting up. And it reminded me like I was standing during the war, instead of being in the cellar during the night the bombs were coming down and the fireworks, and standing because you couldn't see it in the cellar. Anyway, it reminds me of a little anecdote, and I made me reset. About the two guys golfing, and one was a man of the cloth, and the other one was just a parishioner, and he was swearing every time he missed his putt, and the minister was telling him you should not swear and use the Lord's name, and he said, God will strike you and you'll be dead. And there was thunder and the minister was struck by lightning. And then there was a voice out of the clouds, damn it, I missed.
Harry, I love your anecdotes. And remember, I want you on there every week, at least for one. Appreciate that. We got to throw a little humor out there. And of course, no religion or politics allowed, but that's that will exception to the rule there. So, anyway, you know, Harry, we had talked about that. Glad you could join us. Had mentioned that. One thing I'd like to add also is, oh goodness, and we're talking about flatland people here. We're talking about Garden Grove. We're talking about Inland Empire flat terrain. Had a lightning bolt hit it's all underground power down there where we were. There are no power poles within the immediate vicinity. My next door neighbor was driving up at the time. I would say no more than literally less than 100 feet away, we had a street light that got hit. And I'm thinking this has got to be in 1980. mid-1980s, somewhere. Like Harry says, it's the flash and the bang and the boom immediately. There is no flash, and then the thunder comes later. And the boom is so loud that you think you just got hit. So anyway, that close, we were very fortunate. We had no electronics go out. Don't know why that didn't affect anything, but we were very fortunate. So anyway, Harry, glad to hear you out there. Appreciate that. And got a couple more suggestions if you're in antenna, if you're still willing to listen to me. Anyway, anybody else out there, any other comments? My gosh, we're going a little over here, our normal time, but please come back to KF6Q and the Big Bear Repeater on the preliminaries of the lightning strike and stuff we can do this summer. Please come back to KF6Q.
K6CIA.
KA6CIA and Fonskin there. George, person who worked with grounding and electrical systems for his whole life. Please come back, George. Appreciate that. KF6Q.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know in the next couple of weeks you'll cover it, and I'll be listening to that. But what we keep talking about grounds, but what constitutes a good ground. Up here in Big Bear and down there in the desert, an 8-foot ground rod, copper rod driven into the ground, a lot of times will give you no more protection than just laying it on top of the ground. So I know that's something you'll cover as we go down, but even a partial ground is better than no ground, and the more rods you can drive into the ground, the better off you are. That's about it for now.
Okay, George, appreciate that. Yeah, we are going to get on to that a little bit further down the road. Maybe not that far. Maybe next week is the grounding. That is it. It used to be assumed that the old copper pipe, the water pipe coming in from the street, now there's a lot of isolators. They're plastic. We don't have that anymore. Now the requirements for what they call a ground rod. And that's very true. I'm up here in Sugarloaf. I have almost solid rock underneath us. I'm at 7250, and you dig 2 inches down, you hit a rock, and there's a little dirt mixed with that rock. You get down towards where Chris is at, SKN, a little bit different, a little bit more towards the valley, probably a little bit less rock. Totally different grounding thing. Moisture. Rock does not hold moisture. Concrete does, though, and we're going to talk about that. Concrete loves to explode. So that's going to be further on our list, as we're probably not going to get down that road tonight. And then different areas, like in the desert. A lot of good stuff there. So anyway, appreciate that, George. Yes, grounding. Going to be a whole night in itself, if that. So maybe more. Anybody else out there, any comments, suggestions to us tonight on just preliminaries on the lightning strikes? Okay, roger that. Not hearing anybody else out there this evening. Everybody out there, our listeners, appreciate you checking in this evening. Appreciate everybody out there participating. I invite you all back again next week at 1900 hours, Tech Tuesday, 1900 hours, almost every Tuesday. And like I said, the only time we have tried to bow out is when we have reserved this repeater for emergency communications. And that's one thing that's really kind of cool. If you're a ham out there, you want to get involved with the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, please go to bbarc.org. Join our club, help support this repeater. Go to the ARRL, sign up there. You'll get so much information for free, about a basic price of $39 a year, plus that includes that magazine you'll get. Other than that, you've got many other organizations that rely on ham radio. Fantastic to belong and help out. Anyway, all righty. I'm going to send it back to my co-host real quick. Mike, anything else to add?
Since we're going to continue this on for several more weeks, I think we've just scratched the surface, and I think we're going to catch it in the next couple of weeks. So I think we've done a real good job tonight. We've had some very nice, knowledgeable guests on, and let's keep going. WB6CLZ.
Yeah, roger that, Mike. Appreciate that. And anybody out there listening, if you'd like a link to, these are free downloads on the internet about the three articles which I have printed out some and we didn't even touch on tonight. That's how involved this topic is. It's a life or death thing. I mean, it's definitely going to protect your radio. It's going to definitely protect your life and your home. So send me an email at KF6Q, that's Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec, KF6Q at ARRL.net. I will forward the link to you, which will have these articles. These are copyrighted articles. However, they've been released to this one site to read. You're more than welcome to read there. They may even be at the ARRL site itself on the open library. So these will be the three articles that were in 2002. 2002. This is 2011. That does not mean anything. Lightning's been around a long time. Ham radio one day later. And we all want to be there tomorrow. So feel free to email me, and I will send that link to you. In closing, anybody else out there, any more comments or questions? Please, we're wide open to questions. Please come back to KS6Q.
KJ6KDL.
KJ6KDL, Jim and Sherloaf here, my neighbor. Go ahead.
I was wondering if you had any teasers to get us interested in the next week. I had some ideas of comments, but I think we may wait a week or two before I bring those up.
Well, Jim asked, we're closing down for this evening. We don't want to tie up the repeater too much more in an hour. Sometimes we do go over, and I'll be on the radio myself, and a lot of us out there will be for any comments or off-the-net questions, but Jim, if you've looked into those articles, Mike, if you have, appreciate that. I've got one in front of me. I knew that we were going to basically have a very full plate with this, and I think it's a very important plate. I think it's very important. There is no way we could ever get enough information to all the people. It'll save equipment and possibly even save a life or two. So, anyway, Jim, yeah, you got comments, write those down. And we'll bring those up next week because we're going to continue on. Back to you real quick, Jim.
Oh, roger, roger on that. Okay, well, I will sit tight for next week.
Okay, roger that. Anybody else out there with any other experience on that or personal experience or things that have been done, put them out there and we'll check that out next week. And make a list, please. We try to help everybody out there, and this is all about that. So anybody else out there, any other questions or suggestions, please come back before we close the net. All right, hearing none, and like I said, any other things that need to be discussed, please send me an email at kf6q@arrl.net. Be more than happy to answer any questions, and we'll go further than that. And appreciate everybody out there who's listened in and participated this evening. Blah, 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 blah. Excuse me. Yeah, that's what happens after an hour. QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net. And we'll be closing the net at 2,000 hours and 13 minutes. Returning the repeater to normal use. Thanking once again for everybody who's listened in, participated. Please join us again in 1 week. And I'll stand by, as many of my helpers will, for the next few minutes. So take care. Everybody be safe. Stay out of lightning's way. KF6Q.